to God. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Psalms in the 41st chapter is where we'll be reading from this morning. And I thank Him for what I felt in my heart, for the encouragement of the Holy Spirit that has passed by. And knowing that He is not done yet, He's got more in store. Just when I think God can't do anything bigger, He shows up and just amazes me. And that's because He's God. We've not seen all of the fullness of His power and His might. But one day, we shall. I shall behold Him for myself and not another. And I will be able to praise Him for what He has done for me. The book of Psalms, the 41st chapter, starting at verse 1, reading down through and including verse 3. Verse 1, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou shalt make all his bed in his sickness. And stop reading there in that third verse this morning. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. Today I'd like to bring you a message that I think that we all can relate with. And it's found in that third verse. If I can give you Roger's interpretation of that third verse, the way that the Lord has given it to me, is that there's been times that we've all had sicknesses or hurt feelings. We've all had times of being down and out as they sang that song. But the Lord told to David here, he says, but when the Lord makes your bed, don't get back in it. Amen. When God makes your bed. In other words, when you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, and God answers that prayer, don't get back in that bed with that same prayer, that same affliction that you had that put you in it. Because when God does a work, He does it completely. He doesn't have to do anything. You see, sometimes we wallow in our own pity. Nobody has ever suffered like I am. Nobody's ever gone through the things that I'm going through. If you read the rest of this chapter, you'll find out that David had his enemies coming against him, trying to destroy him. He had sicknesses and even diseases that came upon him. But when the Lord speaks healing to you, you can get out of your bed. Let God make it and don't get back in it. Amen. Amen. Because sometimes God says move on and we want to stay where we're at. Because we feel like that we can't move on just yet. The Bible talks about that a dog will return to its vomit. And a hog will return back to the mire, the mud, and get back in it. Once God has done the miracle that you've prayed for, it's time to put it behind you and move on. God don't want to stand in bed all day long. In the spiritual realm, and I got some amens on that, and I think we can say that in the physical realm also. How many of you know the longer you stay in the bed, the worse you feel? Yes. Some of you are shaking your head. Others are saying, I like to be there longer. I tell them oftentimes, when I can, I can't. And when I can't, I could. Does that make sense? But David is saying to us here through the reading of God's word that there are things in our life that God has healed us from, moved us away from, and yet our natural tendency is to try to go right back to the thing that God has delivered us from. I like that analogy that God gave to me that, you know, sometimes when I at the house, Becky will make the bed, and I feel like that I just can't go on anymore, and I feel bad to turn it back down. But it don't stop me, because I feel so bad I want to get rest or maybe just get away for a few minutes of time. But I'm not talking on the natural realm. I'm talking on the spiritual realm that David said here in his word that he needed healing in his body and he needed protection from the enemies that come against him. He needed some type of relief, some type of confirmation that God would take care of it. And God told him, he says, I will make all his bed in his sickness. I will make it. In other words, that's confirmation. David, your sickness is behind you. And whatever is behind you, you ought to stay away from it. Amen. There are times that in our life that we are just like the children of Israel. God brought them out of Egypt, took them out there into the wilderness, and they got out there, and God fed them. He gave them water. He provided for them. And yet, often they would say, we'd been better off if we had stayed back in Egypt. God said, I made that bed. I brought you out of it, and there's no reason for you to want to return back to what I have delivered you from. We've got folks today that say they're saved, and they've gone right back to the things that God has brought them out of. Children of God, when God saves us and delivers us, we ought to mark it and stay away from it. Amen? The Bible says to shun even the very presence of sin. If it's there, stay away from it. Because sin and a child of God ought not to have any communion or relationship whatsoever. And you say, but Roger, in order for you to say a statement like that, you've got to define what is sin. Sin is anything that goes against the Word of God. Not my word, not your word, but God's word. And if God says stay away from it, meaning that he has healed us from that, our desires ought to be taken care of. But how many of you are like me? The devil will come and he'll plant a seed in your life that it's okay, it's all right. But you know, the devil is a liar and the truth is not in him. God made it. Let's be delivered and get away from it and shun the very presence or the image of sin in all times. Jeremiah in the 4th chapter in the 3rd verse, to go along with what we're preaching on this morning, Jeremiah said it like this, that we ought to sow no more amongst the thorns, but break up the fallow ground. You know what we're used to? We're used to planting in thorns and getting thorns. Amen. God has saved us, and the reason why we're used to planting in thorns and staying and gathering in thorns is because it's softer and it's easier. You know what we've come? We've become the easy Baptist. We become the easy children of God. Don't ask me to do too much, God. That fallow ground, that is hard. It's going to take some work to get that ground broke up. But let me tell you, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and God is our witness and our guide, we can see that fallow ground broke up and planted, and we will reap a harvest like we've not reaped in many a days. How many of you are ready for God to bless the Church of America and let's see souls get saved again? And in order for that to happen, we've got to stay away from our past and move to our future. The Bible says that, Jeremiah said that, we plant and these thorns and we gather in thorns. But if we break up some fallow ground, can I preach this morning? Not everybody that attends church is saved by the grace of God. Not everybody who's got their name on the church book is a member of the family of God. But I thank God that when He made my bed, He said, return not back to sin, but walk on this straight and narrow road on the pathway that leads to righteousness, and it'll take you to heaven when this life comes to an end. I have nothing that I want to go back to. Help me preach this morning. I have nothing that I want to go back to. Yesterday is gone. All my problems of yesterday, God took care of them. And whatever happens tomorrow, God will take care of them also, because He is God. He said, I've made your bed. It's time to get up and walk away from it. Have you ever seen folks that God healed them, but yet they still wanted the pity of the sickness? Oh, bless your little heart. God heals you. You ought to get up out of the bed, put your clothes on, and tell somebody what God has done for you. You get back in your bed, you're saying, God healed me, but He didn't do a complete job. Let me tell you this morning, when God does something, He does it completely. He does it right. He does it in such a way that you cannot deny that God took care of it. And God don't want you to go back to it. He wants you to get up and testify about what He has done. We wallow in our own pity. Oh, poor me. Nobody's had it as hard as I've had it. Nobody's gone through what I've gone through. Nobody's been in a situation like I. Let me tell you this morning, God said, I'm going to make that bed, you get out of it, I'm going to make it, and you need to move on. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. There's trouble in my house. There's trouble in some of your houses. But blessed be the Lord. He's about to make the bed. We're going to walk away from it. And we should not return back to what God has said He's taken care of. Oh, I remember in years gone by, year after year, people would have the same prayer request. Oh, we're getting down to where the rubber meets the road. Same prayer request. If church would pray, and we know God had heard the prayer. Some people just like to have the pity. When you're getting the pity, you're taking the prayer away from somebody else. You see, our minds can only pray for so many that God puts upon them. And let me just say this. There's prayer requests that I've had that I wouldn't even mention. You know why? Because sometimes we ask for things we want. And God did not say, I will give you your wants. He said, I'll give you your needs. And I say, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Every need has been met. Has anybody else been down where the cupboard's almost empty, and yet God made a way some way? Anybody else been down when the gas tank is on empty, but yet it had enough to get you down the road to where you needed to go? See, some of you haven't been down so low that you knew it was God that blessed you and brought you out today. Some of you today haven't been down to where there was no money in the bank account, but yet God made a way somehow. You know, and I say somehow because I don't know how He did it, but I know this, it bound to be the Lord that took care of that need. He said, I'll make the bed and you stay away from it. In analogy, we become the laziest Christians there are. We like to sit on the chair and do nothing. Some of you say, Roger, now you're going to get on the church. We like to be able to just sit back and find fault with everything going on. The singers didn't sing my song. the preacher's not preaching my message. I remember a few years back, I was at a place and they asked me to preach. And a guy come up to me beforehand when he found out I was preaching. He said, "I want you to preach this message." He said, "I heard you preach it in years past, and I want you to preach that message." And I told him, "Brother Eli, I just don't know that I can unless God moves. You see, it's not my message. It's not my word. It's God's word." I found out a long time ago, when I try to do what Roger wants, it's going to be a failure. But when we do what God wants us to do, people will raise their hands in praise and worship. People will have tears that will go down their face because, you see, God has ordained us and told us what to do. Now let's move forward and get to work for God. And there were times that David was having a pity party. Can I ask you for a witness on a Sunday morning? How many of you have ever had a pity party for yourself? Anybody had one today? Oh, there's a couple hands. Did you know everything that's wrong, God has either already taken care of it and you've just not acknowledged it, or God is about to take care of it? So, every one of us could come in here and just have a list of things to complain about. But instead of coming to complain, what we ought to do is say, "Let me tell you what God did for me yesterday. Let me tell you what He did for me today." You say, "What has He done? It's a snowy Sunday morning. What in the world have you got to be thankful for?" I've got to be thankful because He woke me up this morning. He gave me health and strength. As far as I know, everything is all right. And I'm going to magnify His name. I'm going to praise Him because He made that bed of self-pity and told me to get up and walk on in His name. And wheresoever I roam, He said He would be with me to guide me and to lead me, and to make sure that the devil don't come to try to destroy me, because I've been saved by God's grace. You see, what we ought to do this morning, like David did, after all these things happened in his life, he realized it was God that saved him from the lion and the bear. It was God that saved him from Samson. From the giant. Goliath, thank you. It was God that saved him when Saul tried to take his life. It was God that watched over him when his children tried to when his son tried to overthrow him as king of Israel. It was God that watched over him, even in the times when he messed up. How many of you will acknowledge on a Sunday morning, there's been times we have messed up, but praise be to an all-sufficient God, He forgave us and restored us back into fellowship with Him and said, "Move on, child. Don't return back, but move on in the name of Jesus." Move on. What we ought to do is say, "Let's let God and let's get past it. Let God and let's get past it." I didn't come to hurt anybody's feelings, but there's events that's happened in all of our lives that we just need to get past. How many of you ever been lied to? How many of you ever been stolen from? How many of you been mistreated by a friend or someone you trusted? Yeah. How many of you got family that treats you like dirt? Yes. You say, "Man, y'all's families are terrible." Until they get to know Jesus Christ, that's the way they are. But once they get to know the Lord, make that bed, let God make that bed, and move on away from it. And rejoice in knowing that God has it all under control. Today, how many beds has God made for us, only for us to return You know, I'll say this. I'll try to move on quickly. When we were young, we stayed at Granny's house, and she had them old feather beds up in the attic. We slept upstairs. No heat up there. We'd get in that bed, and it would have the feather mattress, and she would have about 10 or 12 quilts on it. When you got in that bed, you pulled the cover up, and you didn't move. How many of you remember putting your face under the cover to try to heat up the bed? Yeah. But in the morning, when we heard the rattling of the stove, we knew it was time to get up. And we'd get up, jump into our britches. They were almost frozen in the corner. Jump into them, and we would run down the steps to get by that heat. And we had no thought of returning back to that bed until we had to. I give you that analogy this morning to tell you, God's woken us up. Look at America today. If God is not trying to wake America up, I don't know what he's doing. He's blessed us, and yet we keep returning to that same old bed. We're just like the men that would return right back to the harlot. Oh, you say, Roger, you mentioned the harlots last Sunday. Don't mention it this Sunday. But it's true. God has made our bed. We ought to walk away from it. Put behind us self-pity. Put behind us feeling sorry for ourselves. Put behind us wanting somebody to pat us on the back. I had a good friend of ours and yours call me yesterday and tell me how much that he enjoyed the message from last week. And I said, all praise and glory be given to God. It's not me, but it's God. Today, I think what's wrong with a lot of our churches today, the preachers have become so exalted that they are all of that. I realize this. Without God, Charlie, I can do nothing today. Without God, I can't do anything whatsoever. And I realize God can take me out and put somebody else back behind the pulpit. Folks, don't ever think that God cannot do without us. I can't do without him, but he certainly could do without me. Look at Moses, and I'll close. Moses was a mighty man of God. They probably thought if anything ever happens to Moses, we'll not make it. But God raised up another man, had him in the background, just waiting for the right time. And when God took Moses up to that mountain, and said, you're not going into the promised land, but you're going to see it. And he got to look over it. The Lord, after Moses didn't return, the Lord spoke to Joshua. And he said, no man shall stand before thee all the days of your life. But as I was with Moses, hallelujah, so shall I be with you. Oh, church, I'm glad that my grandfather and my dad and mom walked with God. And I'm glad that they let me grow up in a Bible preaching church with the Holy Spirit that said, as I was with your grandfather, as I was with your mother and your dad, so shall I be with you. But Brother Eli, not just with me, but he said, God will be with my children and my grandchildren. As many that shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he said, this promise is unto you and to them that are far off, as many shall call upon his name. Amen. How many of you think it's time to get out of bed and get to work? There's a world out there dying and going to hell. It grieved my heart to hear that prayer request for that one that went into eternity unprepared to meet God. You know, part of the reason so many are dying and going to hell, it's because the church has quit preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We put too many limits on God. We've got our clock watcher with us this morning. I jokingly say that with, and she knows it. But I found out talking with Jim this morning that a lot of our churches, they start at 11 and at 12 o'clock sharp, it's over. And if the preacher's still preaching, it's over. I've been at churches before when the service, when the people got to the point where they thought it was over, they just get up and start leaving. You see, we put a timetable on God. We put God under constraints where God can't do what he wants to do because we bound him so tight. I say, let's let God loose. To have the liberty and the freedom to touch hearts and touch lives and to touch our hearts and our lives to where we'll grow up in the Holy Spirit and recognize God wants us to work and not just sit there. Amen. You know what happens if you stay in bed too long? You get bed sores. You get bed sores. And then they get infected. And it causes all kinds of problems. You say, Roger, that's way too graphic. But it's true. It prevents you from doing what you want to do because the longer you lay in bed, your strength is just taken away. And that's in the physical realm. In the spiritual realm, the longer we stay in that bed of do nothing, the cold and indifferent we become. And then when somebody just barely does something, it hurts your feelings. The preacher preached and you didn't like what he preached because it hurts your feelings. You know what? There was a time when the preachers would preach so hard and so long that if they didn't preach at least an hour, something was wrong with the preacher in the church. And when they preached, people had their hearts broken because it got down to where they lived at and showed them that they was wrong and God was right. Let me tell you, in this politically correct world in which we live in, you better put you behind yourself, put God out front and say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm going to keep on singing. I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on walking for God because he is my Lord and my Savior. Let's get a song, Sharon. That's enough preaching. I was kidding about Willie and the clock. I quit wearing a watch many years ago. Wasn't because I didn't have one, but it was because I would pay too much attention to this and not enough to this. If the church thinks I'm preaching too long, get with the deacons and maybe they can corral me in a little bit. But I didn't come to preach to please the deacons or to please you. I have a higher authority that I have to answer to. You see, if you come to church and don't follow God, you walk away and you're the one that pays for it. The Bible says if I come and God gives me a message and I fail to preach it, I am accountable for those that their blood shall be upon my hands. Folks, let me tell you today, I've gone back to the bed after it was made enough that I have to answer for. I don't need to answer for somebody else. So until God takes me home, look out, because I'm going to preach the word of God with the best of my ability. And God moving, it's going to come down like fire out of heaven and get a hold of our people. While we stand and they sing, or I preach another half hour. Follow your heart this morning. Has God made that bed and you find your way back into it? Whatever's behind us, let's leave it there. And let's move forward. Let's move forward. We've all been hurt. Some of us been talked about. Some of us been lied about. Some have allowed to come in and steal from us. And I'm not just talking about carnal things. If we allow them, they'll steal our blessings. Amen. When God makes the bed, stay away from it. Get away from it. It's not something you ought to return to. Because he's put it behind you. Move forward. And you'll be blessed. And those around you will be blessed. Yes. I surrender all. Anybody at all this morning? See, we need to come to the realization that it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. What matters is what God knows. Amen. See, you can put a show on for us, but you can't fool God. The Bible says he knows the very intent of your heart. He knows all about you. And there are days in the carnal sense that even the most of us will have our... How many of you ever have just a lazy day? You just don't feel like doing nothing. I know those dishes need to be done. And that bed needs to be made. You know, grass needs to be cut. Oil needs to be changed. All these things that need to be done, but I just don't feel like it today. Right? But you know, what I have found, if you want to, could just increase a little bit, you'll find yourself doing things. You know, Becky and the kids get on to me because if I have an hour that I think I can get something started, I'll go start it. I may not finish it. In fact, I got more things unfinished than I got finished. And they'll tell you about them. But they won't tell you about the things I completed. Because there's nothing to talk about, right? They're done. And there's just some days I come in from work and I say, I've had enough. Sometimes I come in and I say, I need some me time. To where I can just get along with just me. Because sometimes I'm not fit to be with anybody else. Anybody else want to say amen? Amen. Not about me now. About yourself. I'm not fit to be around anybody else. And I realize that. Most of the time because, you know, it don't take much to change your day. And especially when you're in health care. Amen. Some of the biggest whiners I've ever seen in my life. And it's like, my goodness. You know, we'll get through this. We'll get through this. Just keep on going. Amen. And then there's others that try to get you to do more than you can. And should. But we just have to work it all out with ourselves and with the Lord. Amen. Because we can't do everything. And one day, AC, I'm going to leave. And when I leave, there's going to be a lot of things that's going to need to be finished. The next guy can take it up. That's my philosophy, Ray. But that doesn't give me an excuse to sit there and do nothing. Amen. Some of you women are saying, hallelujah. That to-do list is going to come right out to the top today. But that's not what I preached about. I preached about us doing God's will. And when God makes the bed, stay away from it. Because the devil will set entrapments for us. He sure will. Have you enjoyed being to the house of the Lord on Sunday morning? Amen. Is it past 12 o'clock? Yeah. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. To Jim's comments earlier, I don't know of a better church anywhere in the country. And it's better because of you, each and every one of you. So go have a great day. Stay safe. Hamilton County is purple. Clermont County is close to purple. And God only knows what's going to happen on Wednesday. I mean, you can listen to all kinds of conspiracy theories. You can listen to all kinds of speculation. God only knows what will happen. Wouldn't surprise me if Biden don't shut the whole country down come Wednesday. Wouldn't surprise me. So get your car filled up with gas, get food in the pantry, and be ready. Amen. You say, Roger, you're such a conspiracist theory. No, I think it's there's reality that that could happen. Amen. So God bless you, and yours is our prayer.